You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon that we've called for a lot of years, Raising the Standard. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. We hope you can stay in tune for the whole program. If not, we offer CDs of the program, and all we ask for is a love offering, whatever the Lord would tell you to give. We'll be happy to send it out. We also offer the book we've been talking about for weeks here, Pictures of the Messiah, and that's for an offering of gift of $25, maybe $4 for shipping and handling. We'll be glad to mail that out. Anything else you want to say here, Pastor Donna, before we start teaching here a little bit today?
Well, hello and blessings to everyone. I just want to mention that we're coming into the Feast of Tabernacles, and a lot of people have sukkahs, are building sukkahs in their churches.
That's right.
This is the first year we won't be able to do that. But we do have services here in Stuart, Florida on Saturday today at 2 p.m. So if you'd like to come and worship God with us, because we know that it says in Revelation 19:10, the tail end, this, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus, or Yeshua, is the spirit of prophecy. So we all need to know about Yeshua and his feasts, because they are the feasts of the Lord. They're not just the feasts of the Jews, but they're the feasts of the Lord. We're going to be talking about that today. I want to give our telephone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7000. And we will be having service this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church in Stuart. That's at 445 Osceola Boulevard, right next to the hospital, real close to the hospital. So come and worship with us, worship God with us, and I know we will all be blessed because we are the body of Christ coming together to seek Him, because we are a tabernacle.
Yeah, we are.
You know, we don't, it is nice to have a tabernacle and to build a tabernacle, and we've done it for many, many years, but you know, we are the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit that God has placed in us. Amen?
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We're honored to have our dear sister, Margie Sweeney, with us today on the program. So you got some things you want to share, I think, a little bit from your book that you've been reading?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll do that. So what Donna mentioned, we're going to go into tabernacles. In fact, tomorrow is the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And if you know anything from the Bible, it lasts for actually 8 days, but 7 days is set aside when they live in the sukkahs, and you go to Israel, even on the big high-rise hotels and the offices, office buildings and people's homes, they build a sukkah out on their patio, and they spend those 7 days out there. And so
apartments, and what do? They hang fruit there.
Fruit, everything.
Palm fronds, right. Different kinds of branches from different kinds of trees.
Yep. So this is the last appointed time that God has in the Word of God. And we know it's a picture of the establishment of the kingdom of God. There's so much in this, I could never do it. I'd have to have four programs to cover everything of significance with this, but we're going to try to touch on the main things. And so maybe we'll spend a couple of weeks on it and let you see some of this with us as well. And so it's very important. I thought we'd start off with themes and idioms for the time called Feast of Tabernacles, better known as Sukkot. And I always thought about this, and I have for years, between the Day of Atonement, which was this past week, and the Tabernacles is a period of 5 days. I asked the Lord one time, what's going to happen during those 5 days? I believe he revealed to me that in Matthew chapter 25, it shows that God's going to judge the nations. He's going to put the goat nations on the left side and what? The sheep nations on the right. He's going to separate the nations before he starts his work with the final time of setting up his kingdom during the Feast of Tabernacles. And so it's a wonderful time to think about it because it'll come to a conclusion. So the Jews are getting ready to prepare, and they'll be doing that again tomorrow on the 22nd, won't they? They'll be getting ready to honor the Feast of Tabernacles. So let's look at some of these themes, and we might look up a few of the scriptures. I got six things, and we could spend 1 hour each week on all six of those and probably not cover everything we want to talk about. The first one is called the Season of Our Joy. Now, that's in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 through 11. If somebody wants to write it down, and it's called the Season of Our Joy. Well, Tabernacles is a joyous time in Israel. I'd love to go there next time during the Feast of Tabernacles if we could do that. I've been there twice. Donna's been there once. But I'd love to go during the Feast of Tabernacles because they dance in the streets, they shout and all this. It's called the Season of Our Joy.
And where is that?
In Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. You want to read that? You can.
Okay, I'll read it for you.
Okay.
10 and 11.
Right, 10 and 11.
Okay. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, what does that have to do with tabernacles?
Season of your joy.
Season of your joy.
That's right.
He is our joy,
isn't
he?
That's what it is. It's the season of our joy.
Amen.
Okay.
And wasn't Yeshua born at that time?
Yes, he was.
We're going to talk about that,
yeah,
right?
We might talk about that a little bit. We can prove from the scriptures that, we have two appointed, one's an appointed time and one was one that God honored, Hanukkah and tabernacles. I got an appendix in my book in the back, the very first one, the biblical dates for Yeshua's conception and his birth. And the two appointed times that God put in place about this, we can prove he was born at tabernacles. And then, of course, what happened? God used a time called Hanukkah, which wasn't an appointed time, but it's also called a festival of lights. And we can prove with the scriptures that he was conceived at Hanukkah. You go 280 days to the future, and you're going to come to the Feast of Tabernacles, and that was his birth.
So if he was, and we believe that he was born on the first day of Tabernacles,
mm-hmm.
and it goes 7 days plus one more day, the eighth day, which is the day that they circumcise a boy.
Called Simchat Torah, rejoicing
Simchat
in the Torah.
And Simchat Torah means rejoicing in the Torah.
Torah. Mm-hmm.
So this is a very important time.
Yeah.
And we're talking about not only did he fulfill this at his birth, but there's going to be a fulfillment at the end because a tabernacle is a picture of the heavenly realm.
That's right.
Isn't it? The
yep.
kingdom realm. And we're called to be priests and kings. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
He's going to be for sure.
Yeshua is.
That's right. In our heart, he is, right?
Yes, he is. And so this time is going to be fulfilled. Not only was it fulfilled back at his birth, but it's going to be fulfilled again very soon.
He'll establish his kingdom at that time forever. Mm-hmm.
So these days are very important days. So we want to be ready because it says with the Day of Atonement, now that we should be sealed.
That's right.
Sealed. And so if we've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our heart, then, we are preparing ourselves to be in the kingdom of heaven
of God.
Forever.
That's right.
With the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The King
That's
of
right.
Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look at another one now. It's called the Festival of Ingathering. I'm going to have Sister Margie turn to Exodus chapter 23, if she can do that. While we talk about this a moment, and have her read verses 14 through 17. It's the festival where they ingather all the fruit is fully mature, the wheat, the grapes, The figs, everything comes to maturity at that time. Exodus 23:14-17. You want to read that, Miss Margie?
Amen. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Verse 15. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days, as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month of Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. 16. And the feast of harvest.
Harry, this is what we're talking about now, yes.
Amen. The fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. 17. Three times in the year all thy males shall appear before the Lord God. 18. And thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning.
Amen. Very important. So it's the season of your ingathering. Now, the third one I got is called the Feast of the Nations. Now, it's not called that directly in the scriptures, but I'm in Numbers 29, and I'm going to look at verses 12 through 35. Now, I'm not going to read all this, but I want to share something with you. It's called the Feast of the Nations. In the very beginning, when God spoke to Israel and all from Mount Sinai, the Jewish and their traditions and all, they believed that at that time there were 70 nations, Gentile nations, that were in the world at that time. And so when God spoke, he spoke to all those nations to accept his purpose and what he was going to do. And the only group that said, I will or I do, was Israel. They did it. The rest of them did. But to honor this time, we have this time called the Feast of the Nations. You'll find out, I'm going to read part of this in Numbers 29, starting in verse 12. It says this, and on the 15th day of the seventh month, what's that? That's the first day of unleavened bread. First day of tabernacles. Now we have a spring festival called what? Passover, and we have a time called unleavened bread that lasts for 7 days also. But we're talking about it in the latter part of the year. So on the 15th day of the seventh month, what's the seventh month? It's the month of Tishri on the Jewish calendar. You shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall keep a feast unto the Lord for 7 days.
Now, Margie read Abib.
Abib. That's another. Well, the Bible calls it Abib, and later on it was called what?
Tishri.
But yes. Also, it's called Aviv also. In some
Aviv.
Of those, that's right.
So it's all the same.
All the same. Now, verse 13, and you shall offer a burnt offering, a sacrifice made by fire, of the sweet savor unto the Lord, 13 young bullocks, 2 rams, 14 lambs of the first year. They shall be without blemish. Now, I'm not going to go through all this, but it started on the 13th day of this time called Tabernacles, okay? And they killed a certain number of bulls each day leading up to this, and the first sacrifice was 13 bulls. Each day they added another bull. So when we totaled it all up, it came out to 70 bulls were sacrificed on these days in Tabernacles to remember the Feast of the Nations. God's purpose was that all people would come to him and do and follow what he gave them to do. Amen?
Yes.
So you can read that. You can write it down. It's chapter 29, 12 through 35. You can read it for yourself. It tells you what they do. I just saw down here, verse 29. On the sixth day, 8 bullocks and 2 rams and so on. And then verse 32. And on the seventh day, 7 bullocks and so on. And then on the eighth day, which is rejoicing in the Torah, Simchat Torah. In verse 35, you shall have a solemn assembly. You shall do no servile work therein. It's a high Sabbath. We might remember that.
Mm.
At the beginning of the year, unleavened bread. The first day of unleavened bread and the last day is high Sabbaths are called, okay? Tabernacles has a high Sabbath, the first day of Tabernacles and on the last day of Tabernacles. And a lot of people don't know that, but they need to know that. So we hear it. We talk about the Sabbath in the Bible. And people talk about it. There's a weekly Sabbath, but there's also 7 other Sabbaths called high Sabbaths. They were set aside especially for this particular time of the year when they're honoring this. Okay? Yes. So that's the Feast of the Nations.
Yes.
Now the next one, number four, the Feast of Dedication. This is in 2 Chronicles 7:1-11. You can write that one down. This is when the temple, the original temple of Solomon, was dedicated during the Feast of Tabernacles. Okay? So it was a dedication. You got that one? Mm-hmm. Now the fifth one I had is the Festival of Water Pouring. We need to go to John now. We're going to go to the New Testament. John chapter 7 with me. So if you're at home, open up a Bible. If you're out in the car, we know you can't do that, but you can listen. And the other thing that you can do is you can order a CD or the book.
Or the book.
Get the whole thing.
And while you're going there, I will just mention that this is also on Facebook, so you can listen to this again. Mm-hmm. So you can go to Jean-Donna Hilton, and you can listen to this again. Watch it, actually, and he will show you in a little bit. He's going to show you the book that he's that the Lord gave him that he wrote many, many years ago. And how many years ago did you write this book?
Oh, I can't. I've lost track. It's a long time. I got interested in the Jewish roots back in 1988.
So this has been a long time coming.
Right.
And at this at that time, there really weren't a lot of people teaching what you're teaching
now. And they
now.
Thought I was nuts.
But now... Now there are a lot of people.
A lot of people are doing
it. And there
are
a lot of books, and it's exciting to know that, you know, that there are many. One of them is Jonathan Kahn. He's he's a spirit-filled Jewish man who has a church or a synagogue or a Messianic congregation in New Jersey, I believe. And we know he's been on TV a lot. He's been in the White House. He's been in prayer meetings, and he's prophesied. So to me, he's like a prophet to the nation.
Right.
And so he teaches this, and so do many others, many of them.
A lot of them do.
We could start mentioning a lot of names, couldn't
we? That's right.
But
I'm reading a book right now that I originally got in way back, and it was written originally in 1991 by Dorothy.
A woman?
A woman.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. And it's called, I'm trying to remember the title of it. It's called, I'll get it.
Is it Hidden, Forbidden Knowledge?
Yeah, Forbidden Knowledge, or is it? And it's interesting that the cover of the book has an old Bible with a chain around it with one of those big Gothic locks on it.
Right.
Well, how do you get the chain untied? You turn the book over on the back side, and it has a key that opens that Bible. And what's written on the key is Israel. Israel's the key that opens up all the scriptures for us to understand. This book I got in my hand happens to be a Jewish document, not a Christian document. Christianity didn't come till way after this was all put in place. And we see that the New Testament complements what God said in the first covenant. So they work together.
So Israel is the key,
is the key to everything.
Amen. Praise God.
So I take you over now to the New Testament. We're going to go to John chapter 7.
Okay.
And we're going to look at a couple of verses here, and we're going to talk about this. I think I'm going to do the last one now and come back to number 5 in a minute. So one of the festivals we see during this time is called the Festival of Lights. So why would it be called that? Well, we'll have to share this. There was four huge candelabras set up in the court of the women. Now, I asked God a long time ago, why was it in the court of the women? You know why? Because God was going to have a bride.
Amen.
So there were four major candelabras was set up representing the north, south, east, and west, the entire world.
The entire world.
And they had clothes or material.
Can I tell about that?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Because I love telling this story. They had these where they were like towers, actually. They were these candlesticks. There were four of them.
75 feet high.
Each one in a corner. And they're 75 feet high. And that's very high. It's probably 3 stories high, maybe 4. I'm not sure.
Pretty high.
Really high. And so they used to... The young men, teenagers probably, would go up and wrap.
No, they were young boys.
Young boys. They would climb up these things,
ladders.
And they would wrap this cloth around the top that would burn it. They soaked it in oil. And that cloth was they were torn in strips. And they were the undergarments of the priests after they,
did
their service in the temple. And so nothing was thrown away or went to waste. And so they were in strips, and they would wrap them around, and they were soaked in oil, and they would light them. And so they were so high, and they were so bright that people could see them all around Israel, all around Jerusalem. They could see them. Even people that lived in Bethlehem could see them. And so these four lights were, like you said, it was a picture of the salvation coming to the four corners of the world. That's what Jesus said. Didn't he tell them at the very end before he went back that they were going to go out from there to all the places of the world? And also the name of these strips are called swaddling clothes.
Wow.
So at this swaddling clothes, so that should ring a bell with a lot of you who know your Bible or you read about Jesus' birth and then how he was wrapped in swaddling clothes at this very same time.
That's right.
Because he is the light of the world.
Yes,
those were the four lights that came to the four, all the corners, and he is the light that comes to all, that will go to all the nations. And you were talking about separating the sheep from the nations, the sheep from the goats. And you know, that's all going to happen too. And
that's
so
right.
Only the sheep are going to go into the kingdom. The goats will not go into the kingdom. They only the righteous that are seeking the Lord will go into the kingdom. But here is Yeshua on that very first day after his birth. He's wrapped in these swaddling clothes. And I'm sure they did that with all babies. I don't know. But here they must have already been prepared with these swaddling clothes to wrap their child in. You know, it was a ceremonial thing. It wasn't, it was very important. It was very sacred. It was ceremonial. It represented the priest and represented the blood. Because, you know, when they went into when they were doing the work around the sacrifices and all, they got blood on themselves.
Yes, they did.
They got blood on themselves. So these swaddling clothes are very, very important in the Word of God.
That's right. So that one's called the Festival of what? Lights.
Amen.
And we mentioned that another one, it's not an appointed time, but God remembers things that happened to Israel. We know what happened in the Persian Empire when Hanukkah was established. Well, they had a candle opera, and there was no oil, but they found one flask of oil. That was the miracle. And they lit it, and it lasted for the 7 days. So that's another Festival of Lights. And so we talked about that up front.
And there's only one Messiah.
That's right, only
and
one Messiah.
And when you have that menorah, the candlelight in the lamp, the candle that's in the center, is a picture of the servant. It's called the servant candle.
That's right.
And that's Yeshua. He is the light. There's only one way. There's only one way. There's only one Messiah. There's
Amen.
Not more than there's no not more two or three or a dozen ways to get into the kingdom of God.
Yep.
Some people think all you have to do is be a good person.
That's not the answer.
That's not the answer.
We need a Savior, don't we?
We need a Savior, and he is the servant candle that's in the center of that menorah. And if you count the candles on either side, we don't have time to talk about that, but you can see the down through the thousands of years, 1,000 years, another 1,000 years, you know, the different things in the Old Testament, and then you go into the New or the Renewed Testament. But he's the light for everyone. Adam. Right, all the Old Testament saints, he's the light for them, and he's also the light for the Gentiles.
That's right.
Because all nations can come to him. There's no one that he will turn away.
That's right. Two more scriptures about the Festival of Lights. John 8:12, Jesus, this is his words.
That's right.
I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. That's what he brings. Chapter 9, verse 5, I believe, is another one. Yeah. It says over there, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's not here any longer, but guess who the light of the world is now? You and I are the ones that have to spread the light for it to come out.
Yes.
So that's the Festival of Lights. Now, the last one we're going to talk about is the Festival of the Water Pouring. Now, we're in John chapter 7. I want you to look at verse 2. It says, now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. So Jesus is letting us know when this all happened, okay? So we're in chapter 7. I want to go over now to verse 37 and 38 and 39. It says this, in the last day, that great day of the feast, this would be Tishri 21. The next day would be Tishri 22, which is called Rejoicing in the Torah, which would be the eighth day. But this is the last day of the ceremony itself.
Or the seventh day.
Right, the seventh day. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's available today. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, what, shall flow rivers of living water. I think about the woman at the well in John chapter 4. It was like a little well springing forth. Well, God wants that well to turn into a river.
Amen.
And then verse 39, but this spake he, who Yeshua, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Powerful, right?
Yes.
So you see, he picked a certain time of the year to make this statement about the water. About water. Now, I want to share something with you out of my book about water. This was a very important time about the water pouring. And I'm going to read this out of my book so I get it exactly the way I wrote it. I don't want to put anything else in there, okay?
Amen.
Where do I want to start at? Let's just do this. As each appointed time approached, the entire nation was thrown into preparation. In fact, before tabernacles, the rabbis looked up all the scriptures about living water in the Bible. The rabbis began about a month before each festival to teach not only the historical but also the agricultural aspects of each festival. As we've already discovered in this teaching series, each festival was full of various ceremonies and customs. See, we need to know the customs, the mannerisms, and the things that were going on in Jesus' day. The rabbis took each ceremony, custom, historical fact, etc., and would coordinate the symbolic and related passages of Scripture into each aspect of the festival. Even obscure references would often become major understandings associated with a particular festival. An example of this is going to be, we're going to talk about the water pouring. This is really something special.
Amen.
During Sukkot. Now remember, it lasted how many days? 7 days. They did this every single day for 7 days. This ceremony known as the House of Water Pouring, now we don't have anything in the Bible about this, but the Jewish Talmud and all the Jewish writings reveal this. Even the Festival of Lights we just talked about is not revealed in the Bible. It's not called that, but we have it in their writings.
But didn't Jesus refer to the pouring out of the Spirit?
That's right.
Amen.
What we just read, yeah.
That's right.
So this was conducted daily during the festival. At the time of the special Sukkot offerings, now listen to this, the priest assigned to perform this function set about slaughtering the sacrifices. A second group of priests went out the eastern gate. Who's going to come through the eastern gate at the end? Yeshua. Of the temple to the Valley of Matzah. There they cut down willow tree branches at least 25 feet in length. The priests then aligned themselves shoulder to shoulder in several rows approximately 30 feet apart. This reminds me when I was in the military and we used to march on the grinder when in boot camp. At a signal, they each stepped forward on the right foot, swinging the willow branches to the left, all in unison. As they stepped forward on the left foot, the willows were swung to the right. Thus, they proceeded toward Jerusalem. The waving of the willow branches produced the effect of a rushing wind. What's that a picture of? The Spirit of God is approaching the temple. Meanwhile, the high priest and his assistant had left the temple from the water gate, went to the pool of Siloam. Can you remember what the word Siloam means in the New Testament? It means sent. It's a sent one. They went to the pool of Siloam and retrieved a vase of water known as living water. This water was placed into a golden vessel. This is the key thing. While the assistant priest held a silver vessel full of wine. As the priest in the Valley of Matzah started back to the temple, so did the group from the pool of Siloam. As each party of priests approached their respective gates, a shofar was blown, and then a single flute began to play. The priest with the sacrifices ascended the altar, placing the animals on the fire. Those priests with the willows circled the altar. They went around 7 times around that altar, God's perfect number. And then they laid their willows against the base of the altar, forming a sukkah over the sacrificing of the altar. Then the high priest and his assistant also ascended the altar, pouring out the water and the wine. As this was done, the people sang Isaiah 12:3. Guess what it says? Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Amen.
And we just read there in John 7 about the last day of tabernacles. Yeshua cried out with this prophetic word, you know, about the water pouring. And in fact, John's revelation that God gave him in chapter 22, where it talked about they that thirst come and have a drink. Amen. So that was a very special time. And they did that every single day during this appointed time called Sukkot or Tabernacles. Amen. Now, another interesting thing here that happened at this time. Chapter 8. all this happened during this time.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. We mentioned about the eighth day.
Hallelujah.
And about the candelabras being set up in the women's court. This day is also a festival known as the eighth day, we know. It's called what? Simchat Torah. This is known as rejoicing in Torah. It is on this day and setting that those teachers who rejected Yeshua brought a woman. Hope you've all read this. Be nice to take the time to read it all, but we might just pick out a couple of verses. This woman, remember, was caught in adultery. Before him, they brought this woman to hear his judgment regarding her according to the Torah. Now, my thought was, if she committed adultery, where was the man? They only bring out the woman. It's unreal. So chapter 8 here, it tells you right here in verse 2, and early in the morning, this would be Tishri 22 now. This was the day of rejoicing in the Torah. Now we go down to verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Verse 6. This, they said, tempting him that they might have a reason to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. This is the mercy and grace of God. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. Now listen to this. This is God's order again. Beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He told her, You go and don't you ever commit that sin again. Amen?
Amen.
And then the next verse talks about Jesus saying, I'm the light of the world. Well, this is an interesting thought here. So in my book, I said, But just the day before, the same men had participated in the Sukkot water pouring ceremonies we just talked about. And had heard Yeshua cry out that if any man thirst to come unto him, and he would give them living water. The Jews all knew that water represented the Holy Spirit. Being teachers, they had taught many related scriptures, as we've already discussed. With this understanding, what Yeshua did in John 8:2-12, by writing in the earth, takes on a new meaning, for these rabbis would have known and taught a key scripture from Jeremiah. Let's go to Jeremiah 17. This all fits in with Sukkot. Jeremiah chapter 17.
Well, you talked about the living water flowing out.
Uh-huh.
Rivers of living water. That's
right.
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to read verse 39.
Okay.
It says, But this spake he of the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
which they that believe on him should receive. You see that word should receive?
Yeah.
They hadn't received it yet. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So the Holy Ghost, the living water, they could receive, and that would happen when? After his death and resurrection.
That's right. Couldn't happen until then.
And when he was glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this, they didn't understand this. They were having trouble understanding this. They understand the you know, going and getting the water and the wine. They understood it on a certain level.
Right.
But they didn't understand the fullness.
The full meaning of it, right.
Of what Jesus was saying, because they didn't have the living water inside of them, which believers who ask the Holy, who get born again and they have the Holy Ghost, have the living water on the inside of us.
That's right.
So we can have those rivers of living water flowing out from us onto others. So that's why we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know, we need to be continually filled. We don't need to be leaking vessels. We need to continue to be filled.
We don't want to leak out, do we?
And so, right. And so, you know, that takes some pressing in.
Don't let your water go, right?
Yes, amen. Don't get leaks. Yeah. You know, don't get holes in your vessel.
So this was an interesting situation that Jesus had to deal with right after those comments that he had made about living water. Mm-hmm. And so there's a reference, kind of an obscure reference probably in the Bible, but I'm sure the rabbis knew about it. And it's in Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 12 and 13. Now listen to this, and then we'll read it. When Yeshua wrote on the ground, probably their names, that's what I think he did, he fulfilled an obscure scriptural reference already associated by those same rabbis with the water pouring ceremony. The fact that they had just rejected Yeshua, his cry concerning the living water, must have stung them deeply. It is interesting here to note that he was questioned about making a judgment from the Torah on the day known as rejoicing in the Torah. And who is the Torah? Yeshua is the Torah. So let's read this. Verse 12 and 13 in Jeremiah 17.
So he is the Torah.
He is the Torah.
The living word of God.
That's right. Verse 12 says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Now this is the key verse, 13. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. The hope of Israel shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be, listen to me, shall depart from me, shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. So those rabbis and the people that caught that woman, they were not going according to the Torah. They were trying to condemn this woman. And aren't you glad that Jesus came on the scene and showed her the grace that he has for everybody, no matter what we've done? He's willing and able to forgive us. It tells us in 1 John that if we confess, acknowledge our sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us of that sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so he was making a point there to show us at that time. And it's all about what? Because of the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And so the light represents that as well. But all the scriptures we read about water in the Bible, you can relate it with what? The Holy Ghost.
Well, amen? Yeshua, Jesus was willing to forgive her. But they weren't willing to forgive her. So their sin was greater than her sin.
That's right.
They weren't willing to forgive her.
And that's right.
Who knows how guilty they may have been in some of the same type of situations. We don't know.
That's right.
But Jesus wrote on the ground. Mm-hmm. And it says that they left one by one, didn't they?
Right. And the oldest, it's interesting, the oldest went first and they went down in their age. Isn't that something? So that was, God established all that with his sovereignty. Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
It's interesting. The Bible tells us all those things. Those little points are important because, you know, the Bible explains these little things. You know, like you said, the oldest went first. And what did he write in the ground?
Their names.
He knows all things. And perhaps he wrote their names.
Perhaps.
And they left one by one.
Well, as he wrote their names, I think they got up and left one by one.
And the oldest may have had the greater sin because he lived the longest. Mm-hmm. Amen?
That's right.
We don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows.
Here's a comment I made in this about tabernacles in my book about Yeshua's the rain that came down from heaven. We talked about this several weeks ago in Joel chapter 2. It talks about the teacher of righteousness. And the word rain can be translated with the Hebrew as a teacher of righteousness. Well, who is that? It's Yeshua that came down from heaven as well as the living water and the fountain of living water spoken of in John chapter 4 and all these places, which results in everlasting life, as it says in John 4:14. Amen. Go read John 4:14. Margie, if you would, please. John chapter 4, verse 14.
Amen. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
And a wonderful verse.
Yes.
So rain also speaks of what? Revival, when we come to the Messiah, restoration and returning, which is that word teshuva we've talked about so much. The great rain or outpouring of God's Holy Spirit will come when the body of Christ will truly begin to earnestly pray to God that it be done. Amen. God has already declared that he would pour out his Spirit during the seventh month, which is a spiritual picture of the end of the ages. We mentioned Joel chapter 2, verses 28 through 32. So far, we have for the most part seen only showers of blessing. There's going to be more that comes, huh? The greatest outpouring of God's Spirit is yet to come. This outpouring will be accompanied by signs and wonders and miracles and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, as well as a new level of revelation and illumination of the Word of God, beyond all that has ever been seen in history in Yeshua's church. This outpouring will touch every nation, both Jew and Gentile. Therefore, the fullness of this festival, Sukkot, in the seventh month, will be experienced at the second advent of the Messiah. Remember, when he comes, puts his foot again on the Mount of Olives, as it says in Acts chapter 1, when he will rule and reign on the earth during the Messianic age, the millennium. This time will be a time of joy for all believers in the Messiah, and will be the age of Israel's glory. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God.
And we'll all be there. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to get to see that. Amen?
Hallelujah.
So that's just a small part. There's a lot more things about tabernacles, but we couldn't cover it all today, and I want to give Margie time to share what she was thinking about sharing here, and we can talk about this some more next week. But here we are now. Tomorrow is the first day of Tabernacles.
Well, before we have Margie share, I'd like for you to show the book.
Okay.
Show them the front of the book, and say you'd like to have this book, and especially those who are watching on Facebook, you can go back and watch this teaching again and listen to him again, Pastor Gene Hilton. But this is the book that he wrote, the commentary he wrote, with only scriptures, not only scriptures. There it is. Let's get it right here in the camera.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
It's called Pictures of the Messiah.
God's prophetic calendar, mm-hmm. which has the calendar in there. There's a lot of different, all the feasts of the Lord are in there. God's calendar's in there. Daniel, Book of Revelation, and many charts in the back. So you can have this for $25 plus shipping and handling. Just give us a call. Area code 772-285-7007, or you can mail a check to Post Office Box 413, Stuart, Florida, 34995, is it? Or four? The zip code?
Five. The post office. Three, yeah.
Anyway, so you give us a call. And we just want to mention also that we do have services today at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So come and worship God with us as we celebrate the Feast of the Lord, this feast that Pastor Gene is talking about, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. So that would be at 2 o'clock at the Alliance Church in Stuart, Florida, at 445 Osceola Boulevard.
Thank you, Lord.
Shalom. We just bless you, and we thank the Lord for everything he's doing. Right,
Amen.
Pastor Gene?
Amen. It's all about him. It's not about us. We just want the truth to get out, that people will know there's so much more to the Bible than people realize.
Amen. All right, Miss Margie.
Amen. And praise the Lord for your word, Father. Pastor Gene has been showing and teaching and preparing. God is doing that. He showed Pastor Gene in his word about the feast and celebrating the feast, the tabernacles today, and the different festivals and feasts. And how to honor. God is actually teaching us how to honor appointed times of the Lord. So today I would like to share about the Lord, the Torah reading for this week, which was Deuteronomy 32, mm-hmm. 1 through 52. And I went to chapter 31. So I'd like to begin in 31, 1 through 3, because the Lord is showing the children of Israel how to prepare themselves to trust and obey and know the commandments of the Lord. And in the same, he's teaching us today to learn to obey and to trust and to love him with all your heart. Amen. So in chapter 31, verses 1 through 3, "And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel, and he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. Also the Lord hath said unto me, Thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. So here Moses telling the children of Israel that God will go before the people and destroy the evil nations.
That's right.
The Lord that they, the land that they were to inherit, God was going to go before them. In verse 6, God is saying, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee.
Thank you, Lord.
When we have a situation, do not on your own. Don't do things on your own accord. Call upon the Lord. Seek his counsel first.
Mm-hmm.
Follow his direction for the best results, godly results. In verse 8, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Thank the Lord for all that he is and willing to do for your situation.
Thank
he
you,
wants
Lord.
Us to trust him. Don't fear, and don't be dismayed about your problem. You can count it as a trial, but a test.
Yes.
He's testing us to see how much of our faith we are using. Wait upon him in prayer and supplication. Use your measure of faith that he gave you. Use the word. Use what he's given you. He will do what you ask of him with a humble heart before him. Praise the
Amen.
Lord.
It's good.
In verse 23, if I'm still have enough time.
Sure.
Verse 23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge,
mm-hmm.
and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. So you can see him repeating over and over to the children of Israel.
Yes.
They had a problem obeying and hearing God's word. So he gave them every chance, and he loved them so much.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Has the Lord ever given you a charge? Did he ask, command you to go to minister to another person who needs salvation, perhaps? Or a sister or a brother in Christ who needs help with a spiritual situation in their life? Could we help the Lord to get another person to their promised land?
Yes.
Could we do that for the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's good.
Are we joyful to do God's work?
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Yes, Lord. We can say that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do we say, who, me? Me? I can't do that. No. We should exercise our faith in God, knowing, he says, be of good courage. Don't fear what I ask of you. We will not fail when we do the work by His guidelines and His guidance, not our own strength. We should not do things on our own strength, because we don't know what the Lord has for that other person. So we should seek Him when He asks us to go. Seek Him for every instruction. In chapter 32, 1 through 4, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth.
Yes.
My doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. The Word shows us the Word of God is true. His work is perfect, so we should not have fear when the Lord asks us to do for Him. All His ways are truth, just and right.
Hallelujah.
These scriptures in the Torah are for today. It teaches us to live a holy life, to keep us safe. All these commandments and instructions and statutes, they're for our safety. It helps us to avoid making mistakes, for sometimes it displeases the Lord, some of the things that we do. It is good for us today. When I came to the Lord, I went through trials and errors. And the more that I read, the more I was informed. And also with repentance. There was a lot of repentance when I first came to the Lord. Thank you, Father. And I learned how to become obedient to God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Miss Margie. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay,
very
Pastor
good.
Gene.
You got some things to say? I've been doing all the talking. You interject some things
well,
here
praise
about
God.
Tabernacles especially. This well, special time starts tomorrow.
It's a special time pouring out of, well, God wants to pour His Spirit out upon all flesh.
It's all about that. The water all pouring.
Flesh, the water pouring. That's the right. Lights and the that we talked about for all the nations.
Right.
The four lights and the four in the women's court for all nations to come to the Lord.
Amen.
There's not any that God wants to turn away. He wants all to come to know Him.
One thing I want to mention again, I remember when I got this illumination from the Lord about the four candelabras it was in the women's court. I kept asking God, why was it in the women's court? Why wasn't it somewhere else? And the answer He gave me was, because I'm going to have a bride.
He wants a bride. And people could go into that court.
That's right.
There were other places that they weren't allowed to go
into. That's right.
And, you know, God has called us all to come. He says, come. Everyone can come. Those that are weary, those that are tired, come and see. Come and ask of the Lord. He hears, and He'll hear your plea, and He'll hear your cry. And so we just pray that you would just ask Jesus to come into your heart and have this fullness, have this living water. Get baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And you will have
let it
you
burn,
will be
baby.
That
let it burn.
Living water. Amen. you won't be dry.
That's right.
You don't want leak. You want to get into God's word and know the truth, because the Bible says the truth will make us free.
Yes.
And we want to be free, don't we? We want to be free in Yeshua. He's given us that freedom. And we just thank the Lord for this time to be on WCNO and also on this Facebook where you can listen and you can watch. And Pastor Gene, would you like to show the book again if somebody would like to have it? There's a lot of information here about all the feasts of the Lord. All the feasts of the Lord. You're going to have to turn into the camera here. All the feasts of the Lord. It's kind of hard to see with all these microphones here at the radio station at WCNO. We're just blessed to be here to be able to do this broadcast. Amen.
Yes.
We thank the Lord for WCNO and pray for them, you know. They'll be having their fundraising soon. So think about that.
Next month, right?
Very soon. So if you want to bless WCNO, well, also you could bless this Raising the Standard because they don't give this time to us for free. It'd be nice if they did, but they don't. So we just are thankful that we can be here on WCNO and that you can listen and you can, if you have questions, you want to call Pastor Gene, you want to ask him questions about the Feast of Tabernacles or any of the other feasts. Because remember, it says they're the Feast of the Lord. It doesn't say they're the Feast of the Jews, but they're the Feast of the Lord. Amen? So you have anything else to say, Pastor Gene?
I was just going to say if somebody was led to give an offering to this ministry, Raising the Standard, you can make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Mail it to Post Office Box 413, and that's in Stuart, Florida. And our zip here is 34995. We'll be glad to honor you with that, and we know you'll be blessed. And so will everyone else, because the program's going to continue to go on. So
amen. Well, say hello to Roscoe and Audrey on Andros Island. We haven't done that in a while. We're building a church over there. We need about $8,000 to finish the roof. So if anybody would like to help with that, that's one goal that we would like to finish in the ministry here at Spirit of Prophecy.
Amen. Be nice before the end of the year.
That would be wonderful. $8,000 to finish the roof, and then the building will be completely closed in. Praise God.
It's a beautiful building.
So I want to just mention that we have services at 2 o'clock. Come over to the Alliance Church at 2 o'clock. That's at 445 Osceola Boulevard. And this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon. Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen.
And the Bible Marathon. I wanted to mention the Bible Marathon.
Yeah.
Well, keep that in prayer. It's the Bible Marathon is to start November the 11th.
On Veterans Day.
On Veterans Day. So please keep that in prayer. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
So if there's anybody listening to this program right now that's never asked Jesus to come into your life, this would be a great time of the year to do it during the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen.
The Season of Your Joy, it's called. So,
Season of Our Joy. Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.